Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the PMDE podcast. This is, once again, your host, Maximilian Korsch, a.k.a. Blood Fencer, and with me is...
Yo.
Okay, your name is Yo now.
Yeah, my name is Yo.
You totally botched that introduction.
I don't care. Everyone knows who this is. It's not going to suddenly be someone else one day.
Well,
it is.
Well, you never know. I could have had a special guest other than you.
Yeah, but then they would have been introduced third.
Yeah, that's actually right. I'm a good host, so I would have introduced them rather than throwing them to the lions. But yeah, today we are hosting our first ever entirely live podcast. We're sitting here on the PK Art live stream channel, where PK is drawing some sweet Grand Cag doodles. And we've got a bunch of people sitting in the chat and just being silly. I love live stream. So, first off, little bit of resuming what happened in these past few days. We had the great PMDE group anniversary, and as is tradition, we had a big old April the 1st, April Fool's prank.
Except the prank is that it was real.
And
that's the tradition from last year.
And some people didn't actually take that joke too well.
No.
What happened is... PK and the others worked very hard on a very special flash that was a total reboot of a PMDE plot. And instead of being set in a world populated by Pokemon, we have Andro Pokemon going to a high school. Actually, I really love it. There's a lot of work that went into that flash. There are voiceovers, bunch of talented people, and, well, also a couple of amateurs, but they did their best. Actually gave their voice to various characters. Among them, even PK.
That's true.
I will never be able to not see you as Zaru anymore. The little
I need a better microphone.
Yeah, you do. Maybe
this
I should.
So bad.
Maybe I should buy you one.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's in the podcast budget. Yes, we have a budget.
So.
We have a budget now. And of course, together with that Mission 1 reboot, we also have a set of related April tasks. Like finding PK's stolen shoe. Really weird stuff. And if you guys can't tell, I actually bought a new microphone. It's a Blue Yeti. It's beautiful. I love it.
I keep hearing that's a good microphone.
It is a very good microphone. It's got all these little dials for the microphone gain and actually to adjust the headphone volume. You can plug in your headphones into it. I didn't know that before. And it has this little dial where you can turn on different modes of, I don't know, of of input, I guess. And depending on...
That's interesting.
Yeah, depending on what you want to do with it, you can use one of these modes. And the one I have right now is actually specifically for voiceovers and podcasts and vocals. It's really interesting. And well, with a new microphone, I completely destroyed the way I used to record these podcasts. So I had to come up with something better, and I think that is for the best, because now we actually got some better quality recording things, I believe. I'm not sure yet. I will have to see in the after production when I'm editing the stuff. So I guess we can kick this right off with the questions.
Yes.
People in the chat, please hold back your questions for just a little bit. I'm going to go through the Tumblr questions first. It's not a whole lot. Blood, why are you the worst? I hate you, Rye. I hate you so much.
That's terrible. He should feel bad.
Yes, he should feel bad, because he spelled worst as worst.
Yes, I totally caught that. Making a joke.
Okay.
A bad joke.
A really bad joke. And a pun. And we all know how you love puns.
Something like that. So what's the question?
Anonymous asked, and it's not an offensive one at that. With Chill coming back in the picture, does that mean he will join the Rescuers team?
Oh boy. That's a loaded question because, I mean, that's kind of a spoilery question, you know? So, I can say he will be approaching the Rescuers and he will be finding out what happened with them because he's not been kept up to date on the Rescuer happenings, but aside from that, I can't really say a whole lot, but you can look forward to more Chill in the immediate future.
I probably should have kept on reading because this ask is a little bit longer than that.
Is there more to it?
Yeah, there's more to it. I'll read it. With what I've seen in the story, the Rescuer team is in a disorganized mess of sorts. If that's the case, would he take leadership of a Rescuers Guild, and what would become of Fresnel? He spelled Fresnel with an A. That's why I pronounced it like that.
Yeah. Well, I have to say Chill will be himself. That means that if he sees something that isn't going quite how he thinks it should be going, he will be doing his best to fix that, and that's all I can say for now.
He's going to be our hero in tight pants.
I don't know about that.
At least he ditched the city glasses, shades.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And this...
You know, I actually had kept those in the first, when I was illustrating the background scenes, and then I decided I hated them, so I removed them.
Hmm. And this ask still goes on.
given that
Anana and Fresnel are on good terms, what would happen if Chill came back into the guild? Would he also affect how the Rescuers Guild will feel about Anana? Sorry if that makes no sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. His opinions will be affecting a big chunk of the upcoming event and mission. So, I can't specify exactly about Anana, but I can say that his opinions will matter.
Excellent. So, next up, Miss Fluffy Kitty asked. These are going to be three questions. Aside from the guild leaders, which NPC is your favorite and why?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough. I like a lot of the NPCs because they each have a really interesting story on their own.
Well, to be honest, I find that question really cruel. Because...
It is!
Because how do you make a mother choose between her children?
I cannot do that. I can talk about some of my favorites. But it's hard to pick. I can never pick in regular circumstances either.
Well, then let's just do that. Talk about your favorites.
I'll talk about some that come to mind. I know everyone's gonna like Groan because it's obvious, but I really like Grand Keck. I have some cool things coming up that maybe people won't be able to appreciate right away, but I guess I enjoy what a despicable character he is, but people can still like him anyway. It's really weird to write characters like that, but it's very fun.
Yeah, he's really my type of anti-hero.
Yeah, like just doesn't give a crap about anything. He's gonna do what he wants. And I really like that as a trait.
He's such a lovable bastard.
basically. Besides that, there are a lot. There's so many, I can't even pick any specific ones out right now.
Well, which one?
I really like Lexi and Callahan, though.
Callahan, of course.
Yeah, because I guess they're both characters who have the same sort of they're gonna do what they want thing going on, and I like that a lot.
So, which is one of the more, now I forgot the word.
I just said it. Exist. He's yelling to be let in.
Oh my god, cats. I forgot the word I was looking for. Damn it. Well, which is one of the characters that is, that's not as much in the spotlight as others. One of the more, what's the word? One of the background characters. Let's just go with that.
Which background character?
Yeah, like, one of the NPCs that doesn't see as much time in the big spotlight.
Sorry, I missed like the whole first part of the question thanks to my cat.
Oh god damn it, cats.
I'm sorry.
We just have to sabotage everything.
I know.
I think we'll just skip this then. Let's let's go to the next question from Miss Fluffy Kitty. Are there any holidays celebrated in Tau or any of the city's villages?
Yeah, there are lots of little minor celebrations. There's one coming. Yeah, I guess Sorbet's birthday is now a holiday.
He died for your sins.
Basically, and there's also the first celebration carnival thing that hadn't happened yet, but that's gonna come up. That's not like an annual thing or anything, but
that all was right.
Happened. Desmond is there's supposed to be a little celebration.
Yeah, we still haven't had the flower festival, as
yeah,
I like to call
it's
it.
It's not happened yet, but it's supposed to still.
So many interruptions.
Yeah. There's also there's some celebrations at Mount Trifecta with the three legendary birds who rule over that place. But that mostly has to do with how they think they're cool. And so, I guess it's like having a President's Day or something, except it's for the birds, each of them. They have their own day. Actually, it's their own week. But, yeah, there are lots of like little minor celebrations. They're pretty regional. They have to do with an important, whatever Pokemon lives in that area. Merlot, her family used to run a celebration holiday sort of thing like a long time ago, but that doesn't happen anymore.
I guess Merlot just doesn't care much about the outside world.
Yeah, it doesn't. She doesn't. But yeah, there are lots of them. They're all over and they're different depending on the area.
But really nice of you to mention Mount Trifecta, because the last question is, what can you tell us about Kiev and Handel?
Well, Kiev and Handel are kind of fierce. They're not really like Ovan, who's more of a... He doesn't really like fighting. He's not really into that.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Basically. The other two are kind of harsh warriors and came from a long line of likewise. So their personality will become relevant later, more things about them later, but they kind of rule the area in a harsh manner because life there is not easy.
Well, when things aren't easy, you gotta have a strong hand, or strong claws, to keep the population in line.
Yep.
So it kinda makes sense. I guess that wraps that up, and say all do, I hope I pronounced that right, asked, do you have any plans for the next arc? What about plans for an ending?
Oh my goodness, I absolutely do have plans for another arc. I'm not sure yet how many missions will be in the next arc. I know generally we have 5, but it might be 7 for the next arc, depending on how I split it up.
Crazy but numbers.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with the things that'll be happening next arc. There is a whole bunch, and you know, Pokemon X and Y will be coming out soon. So after I'm done annihilating those games, I have to, like, pour over the Pokedex. I'm gonna have to figure out any new Pokemon that I can use, any new lore that I can incorporate in the overall story. So Arc 3 is, I have like the major ideas written down, but I can't really say anything in stone until we get to the ending of Arc 2 and until X and Y have come out. And then I can start working in, stuff from the continent Vell, which is where a lot of the XY Pokemon are. I'll be able to start working those into the main story.
So. I gotta level with you for a second. I found, I was originally not going to ask this question because, to be honest, it seems kinda obvious that you do have plans and that everything is planned well ahead. But it's just such a cute question, I couldn't bring myself to skip it. Okay, then, Kitsuera asks, is there anything that you can tell us about Steel City?
Oh my goodness, Steel City. Oh, we have so much coming up. I know I've been saying this for a long time, for like months. Like, yeah, Steel City coming up soon.
Yes.
But Mission 9 is what you can look forward to if you're looking forward to learning about Steel City. We have a frontal story that's been completed for a while, written by Linian. And, I have to start illustrating it soon. But it's a complete story. Frenel's got his own story going on. You'll get to learn more about him before he left Steel City. We have a story about Jules that's been mostly completed, that is really, it's about recent times. And then Mission 9 is very, I can't talk about it, but it starts to bring up some, I guess, things are going to start getting weird if you like Steel City. So, and also if you like Frenel, you're going to like Mission 9. So,
Little Drink.
I can't say a whole lot about it, but it's going to be intense.
All right. Little drinking game for our viewers. Every time PK says she can't talk about something, take a shot.
Sorry.
It's something you get used to when you're talking to PK.
It sucks because I want to talk about everything, but you know, I don't want to spoil.
You want to talk, but you can't because it ruins things. It destroys the tension. Okay, next question, and I really love the name of a person who asked this. Water asked. This is a silly, unimportant question, but having found that the Keck family have a surname and that Lexi does too, assuming Epoch is his surname, I can't help but wonder if all the characters have surnames or if it's just the older, more tradition families that do. Could you maybe elaborate on that a bit?
It depends on the family. Like, Lexi only has a surname because he came from a place. So he just used that as his surname. He came from a place where there are a bunch of Eevees and there are a bunch of Eeveelutions and it was like their little village and that was the place that they lived at. So that was just the name. If you came from that place, that would be the last name, the surname you identified with. But for instance, PK and Devonshire came from old families who were invested in the thing they were doing. So they had surnames that were like founded in something. Not just, oh, we came from this place. So, it depends. It depends on where you came from, if your family was important or not, or if you came from a big village or something. Like, I guess, if you were a Pokemon, who had a team now who had been living in Tau for like the past three generations, your surname might be like Tau because that's just what people would know you by. So it really depends. You don't have to have one. No one has to have one, but some of the bigger families do.
There's also this old European tradition where people just gave themselves the surname of their occupation.
Yeah.
Like...
There's also that.
Like Baker. Baker is a surname.
Oh, I see people talking about Devonshire's surname, and his middle name is Shire. It's Devonshire... what's his surname? How do you say it? Please? I think it's Pruler? Was that right? Yes? Yeah, I think it's Cruller. Devonshire Cruller.
Cruller?
Yeah, like the pastry.
Ah, the pastry. So he's he's entirely named after the pastry.
Basically.
Anonymous asked, who made the decision to rename Mike to Matt? And she's just laughing. This is brilliant.
I'm sorry. I believe you mean Matt.
Yes, Matt.
well.
Okay, next question. This is killing her. I had hoped for a reaction like that, but I didn't quite imagine it to be this good. Oh my god, this is all that I dreamed of and more. Another anonymous asked, Tao Hai was a bit confusing to me. I'm not sure if it's a joke or not, but I would love to see more. It's really funny and a lot of fun. If it's not, will we see more flashes of this universe?
Well, there will be one more flash at least, because we have to wrap up the exciting conclusion to Do They Make It to Prom? It's very pressing. Everyone needs to know.
Yes, the prom is super important, kids.
There'll be an amazing song by Pengo.
Oh my god.
It'll be a fantastic tiny remix of Don't You Forget About Me.
Will everyone break out into song? Will it be a Tao High School musical?
Fantastic. No.
Aww.
I wish.
So, no big musical number from all the characters.
No, maybe later.
Maybe later. That's amazing. And we've got another anonymous who asked, why does Franel continue to stay in the Rescuers Guild, especially who Mike, one of the original founders, just dumped it on him?
That's a great question. It's because Franel kind of hates to abandon responsibility, even if it really isn't something he should keep doing, and any regular Pokemon in their right mind would have left. But Fennel has some weird issues about wanting to do things that he, I guess, his story will help explain this a little. Yeah, he values responsibility, like Polarity has said in the chat. He wants to do the correct thing because he had some kind of messed up issues with leaders in Steel City. So even though it would be great if he just left and he would love to do that, he doesn't feel like that's the thing he should be doing. So he I guess feels like he owes it to himself to at least complete this, even if he's not doing the best job in the world.
Hmm. So at least he's a reliable
Yeah, he's
fellow.
Reliable, even if he sucks at it right now.
He He'll get better, especially if no one else is around to do the job for him, and he just has to keep doing it.
Yep, he is trudging through it.
It'll be like his own little eternal hell.
Stuck in a rescuer's guild.
Stuck in a perpetual state of doing paperwork and sending people on rescue missions and cleaning up houses and stuff like that.
Oh boy.
And he will never play his ukulele again. Ukulele? However you pronounce it in English.
Yeah, it's just ukulele.
Hmm. Muina asked, question for BK, what is the inspiration for Thought Presses behind all those different awards for missions?
Thought Press behind what?
The awards. Awards.
Oh, the awards?
Yeah.
I don't know which one in particular they're talking about. Just the missions or the tasks or?
Just for missions, yeah.
Oh, the medals?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, when we're reading over the missions and we're judging, ones that we think, wow, this is a really unique entry, or wow, this really stuck out to me, we make a little note and then we turn it into a funny little award. Because, I mean, sometimes they're like really good entries and, they're not gonna win because they're not, they don't meet some criteria or this or that. And we still want to acknowledge that they did like a really cool job, or they did something funny, or they made something really sad. And so we make a little award to give them, if they're not talking about the awards and they're talking about like the artifacts, to do with like, the circumstance of the mission.
No, it was the awards. Don't worry.
But oh, was it?
Yeah, it was the awards.
Okay, cool. So sometimes the wording's a little ambiguous, though.
So. Yeah. So basically awards are like little achievements just better because they are funny.
Yeah, it's like we want to give people acknowledgement without being able to say, you win this mission, because it's not always about winning. It's about you make an interesting or exciting story.
Exactly. So, Gauntlet Spirit asked, what happened to PK's engagement ring?
She got rid of it in a discreet manner.
She got rid of it in a discreet manner.
It probably won't be brought up for a while.
She just threw it away. Dumped it in the trash.
Something like that.
Something.
Put it in a spot where it won't be found. Especially since they're in the past. So,
Destructor Lumi said, that sounds awesome, I'll ask. Did PK do most of the work making the Keck family? How was the process of creating their personalities? What were the influences behind them? Are any of them based on real people?
What was the first question again?
Yeah, let's do this one by one. Did PK do the most work making the Keck family? Most of the work.
PK as in me?
Yes, you.
Okay, see, that confused me, that's...
Yeah. They are asking if you did most of the work in creating the characters.
Okay. I did, actually. I don't think anyone else had much of a hand in the characters at all. There was... I guess the first time she actually showed up and did anything useful was in Rico's story, which was resignation. And he wrote her as I imagined her anyway. So you could say he helped there, but really I've always kind of been directing how she would act. And it was very difficult to, I guess, get to the point where I figured out what bad traits each of them had, because they all need to be there for a reason. You can't just have someone randomly do mean things. It's kind of dumb. So that was that for PK. Inanna was really difficult to develop. She has a lot of complex layers to her that took me over a year to work out. And those are still going to be revealed yet. Especially with Chapter 2 of Complementaries, which instead of being mostly from Kike's side of the story, we'll start to cover Anana's side of the story and her childhood. So
will that also cover the part where she turns yellow?
It will, yes.
Excellent.
So you'll finally find out what exactly happened the day she turned yellow, or figured out yellow was her color. You will find out why she started wearing her little flower. You'll find out, I don't particularly want to say everything about what you'll find out, but you'll get to learn more about her and what makes her tick.
Interesting. And,
yeah. So that I'm really looking forward to. But it took a lot. It took a lot of thought. It took a lot of scrapping of ideas in order to figure out what Inanna was like and who she was. And her first appearance at the end of Mission 5, I guess it was Mission 6 Prologue? I don't quite remember. It was one of those where she had her little confrontation with PK. I know that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths about her, because her first appearance, and she's really vile toward PK. And that sucked for her, but that's how it was. And I'm hoping people will start to question what they think about her with the upcoming flashes and story parts. And besides her, she was originally a little different than that. But Grand Keck had just a tremendous change from my first conception of how he was going to be. And his first drawing is just terrible. It's so bad. I can probably pull it up later, maybe. But it's not what I... Oh my god, I just pulled it up. It's really bad. And he was originally going to be shiny because I didn't know how to differentiate Kecleons at the time. So, his outfit's really stupid.
Oh my.
But, yeah, all I knew was I need a Kecleon for the past, and he's more business-like, entrepreneur-like. And, oh my god, people really want to see what...
Yeah, they do.
I don't want to bring it over, it's so bad. This is like 2 years ago or something. No, it was like a year and a half ago. Oh god, okay. Oh, it's so bad still.
Show us, show us, show us, show us, show us.
Look, he had a top hat.
Oh my god. So... Oh my god, that's adorable.
It's so bad. I can't
top hat, and he's got a little bow tie.
And here was the next conception of him a year later, some 6 months before he appeared in The Flash, I think. No, it was 4 months before he was in The Flash. So there was quite a change.
There's quite a change, and, yeah.
Yeah, I kept him green. I got away from the stupid blue stripe because I didn't want any more shinies, especially if Brooke was going to be a shiny. And, Haxorus have a large neck, but anyway,
I'll take this little moment. Sorry.
He went from like, a yellow green to more of like a blue green.
Ah.
And his face shape got more distinct. But he didn't used to look like the same at all. As I started stylizing Kecleon, he became his own character, I guess. And the way I drew him influenced the way his personality turned out. Which is weird that that happens.
Let me take a short moment to remind people that this is the first time we're doing this live. So if you want to listen to any of the other podcasts, they are available on the website.
Yeah.
The link is, I don't know the link at the top of my head. We can post it later or just link you guys to the Tumblr.
Yeah, we can do that. And we can all make sure to link to the drawings that were made during the stream as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I can just put them up on the Tumblr once you're done.
Yep.
Or rather, I'll do it sometime tomorrow because after this I'll have to go to sleep immediately. So yeah, that was PK, Anana, and GrandKek. Tell us a little more about the process behind the other Kecleons.
I'm still in the process of developing some of the other ones. Not Agave and Cherry, or Agave. Those ones are pretty well defined in my head, and more of their personality will be revealed with more of Anana's, complimentary chapter part. But, aside from them, I'm still working on developing Salak and Percy, Peach, and Topo a little. I have a good idea about how light she is. So, I guess she might be developed more as we go, but the other, the Suns and Peach, it really helped a lot to sketch them out on bad movie night, having them react to movies, because I had an idea for them. I mean, I knew generally how they should be acting, but it helped to have a context and something for them to make remarks about and whatnot. But developing them is... I can't actually say a whole lot about this. I'm sorry.
Well,
but... Yeah, talking about them right now is something I can't do a whole lot of.
Ah. Which is pretty interesting because we've been talking about Kecleons for about 10 minutes now.
I know, but them in particular.
Well, let's quickly go to the last part of that question. By the way, this is the last question that got sent to us, and I'm really disappointed in you guys because I expected more participation. But
don't worry, people in the chat will make up for it.
Yeah. So we'll wrap this up, and then you people in the chat will finally have your turn. So last part was, what were the influences behind them? Are any of them based on real people?
And, yeah, the answer is, I can't make up a character that isn't based on someone in some form. That's how I'm able to make them more believable anyway, is I think about real people I've dealt with and interacted with, or I think about my own reactions to situations and how I felt in different encounters, and that's how a lot of these characters get formed, not just PK and Anana, etc., but every character has some shard of someone else or someone I know or even myself, because that's what I know, is I know things I've felt, things I've dealt with other people, and I can make up some things because I have an imagination where I can make things if, see if they're believable or not. But PK is, she definitely started out as a sort of hyperbole of myself, because that was what I knew how to do. And she's, of course, become her own character since then, definitely. She does a lot of things I would never do. She's, like, I guess who I wish I could be. But, yeah, they've definitely got some basis in people I know, or even parts of myself. Anana, especially, she... is so, she's got so much to her. My own sister, has a ton of just weird things I don't know how to deal with. So I tried to work in their weird sister dynamic into this, because my own, dynamic with my own sister is just, and yeah, Triforce said that PK in the PMD universe seems bratty and rude, but then said that I'm neither of those. And I wish I could just be rude to everyone and tell people to go away when they drive me crazy, but I only do that if someone's a jerk.
A real
and
big jerk.
PK does it whenever she feels like it, and I wish I could do that. But yeah, the dynamic between PK and her sister is definitely inspired by that of me and my own sister. Even if it's not really the same at all, the feeling is, I guess, taken from that. I try and capture the feeling of interacting with a sibling from childhood. It's really unique for me, but I'm not sure if everyone feels like that exactly. I don't know. I'm sorry if this is a poor explanation.
No, no, it's really fine. So if the Keck sisters are based on you and your sister, what about the parents?
Yeah, they're very... People ask that sometimes, and I kind of move away from the answer because they're also extreme representations of my own family, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea about them or anything, but yeah, my family life was not the best, and I want to try and capture a rough family life, even if it seemed like things were okay for them. I mean, they were from a rich family, wow, that should make them happy and stuff, but it didn't. And I guess I wanted to write a little about problems they had despite what should have been a good circumstance for them. And I guess that's how I felt somewhat during my childhood, even though it was, they're really different. But yeah, I drew inspiration from the parents for sure.
All right. So we actually got sent another question to the Tumblr. Gaunty, just to let you know, you could have just put the question in the chat, but I'm going to let this one slide because it's a very interesting question she posted. Leafy is Salen's mother, I'm guessing. Is there going to be a whole life and death arc involving them further, or will we never see Salen again?
Salen's intricately tied into the whole entire story. You can't get rid of him. He's an essential part of the story. Like, Salen is... You cannot have this story without him, I would say. So, you can't have this story without Leafy either. And I can't talk about who Leafy is at all. I cannot talk about any of that. But Salon's very, very important to this, and you will definitely hear about him in some form again. Aside from that, I guess that's everyone's questions from the Tumblr.
Yep, that seems to be it. So it is time for the viewer participation. Ask us stuff.
Oh,
if you write personalities by referencing real people, how about the Celebi? I guess they mean Jasmine?
Jasmine? Oh my goodness. Jasmine is kind of based on my best friend from when I was a kid. She was such a ditz, but she was really smart.
Oh, it's so adorable.
Yeah, and she talked really just fast and ditzy and cute. And I actually have another person based on my best friend. Not the same way, her other traits, her not, like, ditzy, bouncy, cute traits. And that would be, Louise the Gloom. Oh. And she doesn't show up a whole lot, so. But yeah, Jasmine is based on someone.
Zoroa Loves Cookies said, will you make a contract with me and become a magical girl?
No thank you.
Alright, let's pick another one. Oh my god, these things
now
are just moving so fast
now.
Procon 8, how does technological advancement work in PMDE world? Steel City has a 21st century feel to it, while Tower has like an 18th to 19th century vibe.
Technology works depending on the area. Steel City is kind of xenophobic, so they don't really let their technology escape. This isn't true everywhere though, because Alma Mola has some technology from Steel City. They have like lights and like some machinery and stuff doing some jobs for them, but they shouldn't. It's not supposed to be allowed. But it depends highly on the area, on Pokemon who are working to advance different things in their fields. There's a whole different branch of technology on the continent Vell, which is more focused on natural and sort of biological, upgrades to life. So instead of dealing more with mechanical things, they deal with, I guess I'll put it this way. Instead of making something like a Porygon, they would make something like a cast form.
Ah. All right. So, oh my god, people have been asking a lot again.
That's good.
No, I'm losing all the questions. So, I'm sorry, Goman asked, what color are your eyes? Ah, fuck. What is
mine
grammar?
In particular?
Yes, what color are your eyes?
They're just green.
They're green. Oh, wow.
Very boring color.
No, I find green actually very beautiful.
If I found green beautiful, then PK would be green.
Ah. So you would rather have purple eyes, eh?
I guess purple eyes would be cool, maybe.
That question also went to me. So my eyes are, technically they're blue, but I have this weird effect going on. There's like a little rugged edge ripple effect going on in a ring. And inside that, around the pupil, I have this grayish green color. It's really weird. So, Lady Firoon. Will you make a story about Callahan sometime soon? Like about his life or adventures with PK?
With DK? Yeah, actually. There's one of the next doujins is supposed to be about Callahan and DK. So.
Also, you can find, a selection of stories about Callahan's old life on, Malt's DeviantArt account. Right?
Yeah, he has some, I think they're incomplete, but it's some little snippets about Callahan on...
I do remember there's a continued story about Callahan and one of his former girlfriends, when he was still interested in that sort of thing. What is Inanna's middle name?
Nanab.
Nanab.
N-A-N-A-B.
Alright. I would like to know if there are any plans for Chilled's father, since we only saw a bit of him in Mission 4.
He's not high on the priority list, because he's kind of a deadbeat dad and a jerk. So, if he came back, it would be as a sort of antagonist. But, maybe. I don't know, it depends. I don't have, like, intense plans for that, because... I have to figure out what we're doing with Chill first, which I have a very good idea about, but as far as Arc 3 is concerned, I'm not sure of Chill's role yet, because I have to figure out what's going on with XY stuff first.
Alright, I'm looking for more questions, but people have just been going crazy about your eye color. okay, people are actually repeating their questions. For Pokemon from PK's Nuzlocke, are they in their own subplot, or is it just something that will be never brought up again?
It won't matter a whole lot for the overall plot of PMDE, but it'll add another, level of, depth to their own story. They'll each sort of have their moment where that they were dead at one point matters, and this will become apparent during I think mission 11 for Frenel. But yeah, you'll see.
Feather said, PK, will we learn more about the foreigners? Victor the Chespin, Lilim the Fennekin, and Raz the Froakie in Arc 3?
Yes. You will find out that, well, Lilam is an artist, and we also have another artist in Tao, and it is Pao. And they both happen to speak the same language, so that'll come up eventually.
English. And,
yes. And, aside from that, you will hear about the others, but they're not super important right now. They might show up a little bit in Mission 9, but, aside from that, their importance won't really happen until, Arc 3, sorry.
Alright. Omte asked, have you ever taken a story-making class or the like that has helped you develop your stories in the long run?
No, I actually haven't. I have taken no, writing, whatever, classes, nothing like that. All I had was basic, like, English classes in school. I wasn't really interested in story stuff so much until PMDE. I mean, I was, but I didn't have anything to apply it to. So my stories were really dull before I started figuring out how storytelling actually worked, and then I got more interested into it.
Procon 8 asked, do you think there will ever be a political rift between eating other sentient Pokemon? I know how you set those out of town are fair game.
I'm not sure if there'll be one in Tau itself, but that'll be a subject in Alamomola at some point in time.
Alright. Miss Combob. Oh my, these names sometimes. How will X and Y fit in? Won't it be weird if suddenly a bunch of new Pokemon appear?
X and Y will fit in pretty easily because, for a while, for a few months in PMDE time, Pokemon from Vell have not been able to arrive safely. So it makes sense that they would not have appeared in the time that, Mission 1 through 10 have been going on.
Alright. So. That sounds logical. So this one's from Sangot. I'm not sure if this has been asked before, but how big is the continent of Tau if we were to compare it to a continent on Earth?
Oh, that's really hard. I'm not sure I can do a good comparison like that. Let me bring up the map and I will draw the real size of... Let's see.
Okay, while you...
Tau World map. Yeah, go ahead and ask.
While you're bringing that up, Trader Red wants to know, the new Mewtwo, will you bring him into the story?
There's no real way to answer this without giving away what we're doing, so I'll just let you I'll let you know that we want to use every Pokemon in some way.
Every Pokemon. You heard it. Blah. Righty, he asked. PK, will B-Baller 1 become a permanent NPC in PMDE?
The answer is no.
There you have it. What's the, Aurelis DX, what's the whole story behind getting Duke Nukem on for the Flash? Alright, this is about John St. John.
We just went to his website and found out that he could be paid to do stuff, so we paid him to do lines for Sorbet.
Oh, it's actually that easy, huh?
Yeah, it's very easy.
I have to say, I was really flabbergasted when I realized that it was him, and I was like, oh my god, I worked in a Flash with John St. John. And the fucker got paid for it.
Well, we really wanted to have Duke Nukem's voice.
Well, it is the perfect voice for Sorbet.
Perfect, yes.
It's like, oh man, the voice gives me orgasms. I mean...
Wow.
I totally mean what I just said.
Ooh. Where I have the map about doodled.
It kind of looks like Australia. Oh, right, the Barrens.
Yes, this is not anywhere you'd want to live.
Oh no, the question is disappearing again. No, stop asking this. Too much scrolling. Another one from Lady Firoon. Is there going to be any new legendaries introduced to the PMDE? God damn it! Stories, such as Victini. I think there already is a Victini, isn't there?
As I answered a bit ago, we want to use all of the Pokemon eventually, so yes, legendaries will be introduced.
Alright, this one is a tough one from Sapphire Luna. If Kecleon did not exist, which Pokemon would PK and Inanna be?
Oh my goodness! That's hard. I honestly did not have a favorite Pokemon before Kecleon came out. I had a bunch, I was like, these are cool, I like Pokemon, but I never had a favorite. I couldn't pick. I just liked a bunch, but none stood out to me as my favorite. I liked Smeargle a lot. Smeargle was cool because, well, it's an artist, and I think that's the standard Pokemon a lot of artists like. But, aside from that, I liked Larvitar and Togepi.
Oh my god, so, Larvitar. I love
Larvitar
you.
Larvitar was one of my top favorites.
Larvitar is my absolute favorite, as you probably know because I keep making
it. I might have done something like a Togetic, or like a Larvitar, or a Smeargle or something. But, I don't know. That would have been weird, but yeah.
Oh, my Triforce. Barrens, does that mean desert?
In this case, no, it doesn't mean desert. It means this land will poison you.
Oh.
And you die.
It's actually a poisonous landscape. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really terrible.
It's not a place that you can live if you don't want to get sick and die.
So, some of these comments. Some place you don't want to live? Yep, sounds like Australia.
Yeah, poison types may be able to go there, but they would not be feeling good, even though it's a poisonous place. This is poisonous to all Pokemon.
Alright. Oh yeah, people, if I happen to skip your questions, please don't take it personally, because I can't keep up with all of them, and I don't have the time to just copy and paste them somewhere, because you just keep adding them.
Also, that's not where the artifacts from Castle Jack Lugia are from, but that's a very good guess, because they're a similar type of poison.
Ah, alright. What is the current season in Tau? Is it still summer? Well, summer only just started, didn't it?
I think... What is this season?
Well,
I think it's in summer, yeah.
Well, we had the forced winter because of Sorbet, then everything got warm again and we had summer, and then Callahan just made it worse. And I think in plot time only a couple of weeks happened since the whole time shenanigans started.
Yeah, it's been something like 3 weeks almost. Yeah. I don't know, about three, almost four weeks, yeah.
Alright. Cass Luna wants to know, will the Barrens have an effect on Tau Village later on, or will it stay unknown?
It'll not have a direct effect on Tau. You'll get to see why the Barrens exist at some point in the story. You'll directly get to experience why the Barrens exist later in Arc 3.
Alright. Christine wants to know, ghost types can die, can't they?
Ghost types can die. They will go to the same place that all the other Pokemon go when they die.
Which is?
I can't.
You can't.
Go to the place they go to when they die.
You just can't. You lost your ability to can.
They will go to Leafy's realm.
Ooh, alright. So we just learned a little bit about Leafy. Very well played. Sand God. Oh, interesting. So there is a place to the north of the Sandsong Desert.
There is. It is, it's a place Callahan has been to. It's where he lived for a while. It's not something that will come up in our story in the immediate future. Probably in Arc 3, because that's when I have to expand the map, because, we're getting a lot of stuff that's gonna happen in Arc 3 where Tau is not the only important place anymore.
And Shika wants to know, I want to ask if Rupment Ovaltine will develop even more anytime soon.
Soon, not particularly, but eventually, yeah, Ruben's story will come out.
Here, in addition to the ghost type question before from Screamer Jinx, what about ghost types that have been Pokemon beforehand, like Devon? I assume it's the same for them.
Yeah, it's the same for them. They can also be sent back to where they go. To where they...
All Pokemon go to heaven.
Something like that.
And... Kesluna again. Estimated, how old is Callahan? Also, what is the time period of a game? Is it in our time or something different?
Callahan's, I think, like 250 or so? 350? Oh, 350. And, time period? I don't know what that means exactly.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's not really relevant, though.
Yeah, I would guess that, the plot of PMDE has its own little timeline and that they have their own time periods and stuff.
Yeah.
Tazen Ray, did something go wrong with the Moon Tribe since the first future and Old Tau?
Sadly, something did happen, yes.
Ah.
That'll be elaborated upon soon.
So we will also know more about the tribe.
You will, yeah.
Well, that was actually to be expected, I guess. Yep. August Tellers. PK, beyond the Orven and Kiev and Handel, have other NPCs speak in other foreign languages?
Remedy speaks Japanese, and so does Callahan. And so does Nibble.
And of course we've got Smurgle and, what was Fennekin again?
Well?
Yeah, who speak Vinglish. That was Traitor Rat again. Mission 1 reboot, was it just for lulz, or will it actually connect to PMD Realm later on?
It will connect. I know no one thinks that it... I know no one thought it would, but, I mean, it wasn't just for no reason. Not random. It's connected, like everything else.
My Triforce? Can you tell us anything about Gleam and Gnamon? Nemon, however you pronounce it. Nemon. They are really interesting to me, especially character designs. Part two of this question was, what was it like to come up with the Zoroark designs?
Oh, okay. So I guess I will pull up their art real quick so I can make doodles of them. Which I was trying to do already, but... Well, they were really close when they were alive. Gleam and Nemon were important for their tribe. Gleam was like an empath, and he could sort of read the emotions and feed on the emotions of other Pokemon. He didn't have a mouth, so that was the way he ate. And he could also use this to... give energy to other Pokemon. So he thought he would be able to help Jasmine out because that was one of his talents. He thought he could impart his own energy to her, but it didn't work. He couldn't do it, and that was really baffling because it always worked before. And that was sort of how his role fit into the whole Jasmine thing, why he tried to help or why he thought he could help.
Oh my god. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just had a miniature heart attack. The recording thing I used minimized itself and completely disappeared for a second, so I thought all the recording had been lost.
Oh, that would have been very sad.
That would have been really sad, and oh. Oh. So, what were you going to say?
Anyway, so that's how, Gleam fit into the role, he played during the Jasmine trying to heal her thing. And Nemin is not, she doesn't really have the same really awesome healing sort of ability, but she's able to, sort of sense the feelings of others, not just feed off of it, but, really get close. Even though she can't see, she's really good at detecting them. I would really like to expand upon them in a little short story soon, so I don't want to totally spoil their interactions. But, so the second part of the question had to do with their design.
Yes.
And, designing them was really fun. I had very specific things I kept in mind while designing each of them. And from the very beginning, back in 2011, I knew that designing them was going to be fun, but I wasn't good enough to do it at the time because I knew I'd be able to play around with their hair. And that's a really big tool in making each of the silhouettes different. And they just have so much hair all over, like their shoulder pads, on their head. They have the beads. There is a lot of potential for playing around with them. And I see a question about asking if all of the Zoraks from the tribe have special abilities. And, no, they don't always. But if they do have some sort of neat little ability, it's because they sacrificed something and they got something in exchange. So, in giving up his mouth, he got something which he could still eat with, but, it also helped him out in another way. So it's kind of, yeah, it's equivalent exchange sort of thing. You get some other means of doing the thing you lost.
Hmm. Well, that's actually a really interesting concept. So, picking another question, which is going to be really hard because people have been very busy. Melon Bratz, why was Jasmine's illness so hard to fix?
Oh boy. Well, she shouldn't be alive. What happened to her wasn't really an illness, but it was sort of, breaking down her body. There was the item that, Shade had. It was the red chain. And if you'll recall, in the concept from the red chain, is from, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. And, it inhibits space and time movement. So Jasmine acting, despite that, was really terrible on her health. And, the shock from it should have killed her. She shouldn't have been able to do that. And that's why she should have died. And, why the red chain exists in this current KMD story, I really cannot talk about without spoiling a bunch of stuff. So I'll just say that there's a good reason it exists. And we'll eventually go over it.
Hmm. So, Blubbles wants to know, wait, so do all Zoraks of a tribe have special abilities? Or...
Yeah, I went over that a little.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a bit distracted with keeping up with everything.
Yeah, so.
Sandgod, on the subject of blot, was there a reason why it had to be the skin?
Yes. Blot is really, You'll get to hear more about Blot soon, actually, if you are following the next flashes. Blot will make an appearance if you're excited and see him again. So, I guess be excited for the past epilogue because Blot shows up and you'll get to learn what happened exactly with him and, his skin.
Aurelis DX. PK, I am relatively new to the PMDE and would like to know where to get a good start with the plot. Where should I begin? Probably at the start. You still there? PK, I can't hear you. Uh-oh.
Yeah, it looks like your thing pinged out.
Yeah, I think I'm really sorry, guys. This is my fault. It seems I lost connection for a second.
Whatever, it's no problem.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's no problem.
Yeah. That's weird. I just had some. That's weird. I just had some. What the hell? I'm suddenly having some weird feedback loop or something. Oh, it was because the stream unmuted. that confused me for a second. Alright, so apparently my entire internet cut out for a second. We are still recording and everything, so I can just cut that out. I can just edit that out, because I'm a whiz. what were you about to say before my internet cut out?
I have no idea.
You have no... Oh my god, this is...
Give me some new questions.
Can you guys repost your questions really quick? Because I lost the entire chat. Alright, so Miscom Bob. Are Pokemon less accepting of some others? Example, Joltik size.
I think it depends on the species of Pokemon and of the particular Pokemon you're talking about. There are some places where there is obvious discrimination and bias against other Pokemon. Like Gambitville, they don't like... they sort of have a thing about treating... Miltank and Tauros, like, crap, and, in other places, like Steel City, if you're a foreigner and you're let in, and you're not one of the types that they normally see, they'll talk about you behind your back, and et cetera. It just really depends on the area, but yeah, there's discrimination and bias everywhere, it just comes in different forms.
This one's from Guinea Pig Dan. PK, have you thought about doing something Digimon-related?
I don't have time. I barely have time for my own stuff, so.
Okay, that actually takes care of his second question as well. Lumileaf, is there some connection with Czech's Bowtie Jam in Devonshire's?
There is. I'm not at liberty to say what it is, though.
Of course you're not.
I'm sorry, but it would give away something really cool about after Mission 10.
Matthew RYF, what are your thoughts on someone using a 3D animation program such as Source Filmmaker to animate their entries for missions, events, etc.?
You'd have to do it really well. I don't want it to just kind of be like editing sprites and pasting sprites and stuff. If you can show me that you put a lot of work into rigging things and you have like an actual well done entry, then we could see about it. But if you haven't modeled any of the things yourself and you're just rigging them and it's not particularly well done, I'm not sure that would totally qualify for a mission.
All right. Iruti wants to know, will we learn more about the origin seat and the wish made on it?
About what in particular?
The origin seat and the wish made on it. I don't really know what she's referring to.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure about that. Nothing's coming to my mind. I don't know if I'm just, having a brain fart or something or what. Sorry.
I'm laughing about something else. Gonti asks, here's one. How about doing a spoiler stream sometime where you actually can answer those questions?
No, that would be terrible. That would ruin, like, a bunch of the story.
Nice try, but no.
Do you know how close people come to, like, guessing almost the correct thread sometimes? I have to say nothing.
Tahunga. Oh, God, these names. What things are you excited for in regards to the Grand Keg game you may make in the future?
Oh, a lot. That's gonna reveal, like, a whole bunch of his personal story near the end, and also a story about the Dark Moon Clan and stuff. And, I'm really excited about it. There's so many interesting little details we're gonna put in. Aside from that, I probably will post, like, updates of, like, screenshots and, like, concept design art for it and stuff. I want to work on that this month because there's a lot of really interesting things for it. But, yep.
So, someone tried to clarify what was meant with the origin seed thing. It was the red rock that Rhodes encountered in the Mission 7 flash?
Oh, that! Yeah, of course that'll be mentioned later. That's for Arc 3. That's like Arc 3 material.
Ah, so, alright.
Sorry, that was like not in my mind at all. I was like, Origin Seed, that just makes me think, what are we talking about? Is that Arc 2? No. Sorry, but yeah, that's Arc 3 material.
Kaz Luna again. How many Dujin are you thinking of making for PMDE, Miss PK?
At least 2 or 3 more.
At least 2 or 3 more, alright.
Yeah.
Her that draw- Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No, keep going, you wanted to say something.
I still have a Shroomsworth one to make, a side one to make with Callahan and Grand Keck, and then one to make with Till and Mike.
Ah, excellent. Her that draws, is there a reason why Chex is mute? Well, of course there's a reason.
There's a reason, so he's mute.
Doesn't mean we get to know the reason.
Sorry.
But there probably is a reason. I mean, nothing happens without reason. Blubbles. Will your old hard gold Nuzlocke fit into the PMD plot more in the future?
Yes. Not a real lot, but immediately in the final story, you'll see some, of the Heart Gold, Nuzlocke, sort of ending, working its way into a mindset of one of the characters.
He is Clockwork Andy with a paraphrasation of another question from Guinea Pig Dan. How would you feel if Satoshi Tajiri said he was interested in your work?
I can't consider questions like that because they're so unrealistic. Like, I hear it and I go, yeah, that wouldn't happen. Like, that just wouldn't happen. And I can't even process it. I'm sorry to be very, I don't even know. It's just impossible things can't really enter my mind.
Okay, moving on. Shelly Shells, are there any other clans we should know about?
Nothing that's particularly important. They won't be clans exactly, but there are cults that will be mentioned very soon. So, those will be important. But they're not really a clan.
Alright. Fluffy Kitty 69. PK, when will Naki and the Black Market Trio come in the main story? And if she says soon, how soon?
It is soon! It's as soon as the Steel City stuff.
Alright. Do you ever have trouble coming up with missions? This one was from Ark Luden.
No. We at first had a little bit of trouble because we wanted to make them interesting. Past mission one, I was like, we need to make some interesting side missions too, and we kind of had a little bit of trouble, like, how do we work this into the story? So we just ended up making stuff up, and that's turned out to be the exact correct approach, so.
Lumileaf? Do Perry and Mickle share some sort of history background like Mickle and Brooke? Brooke?
Sort of. Perry is more of a hired hand, but he feels loyalty toward Mickle. You'll find it doesn't register the other way. It's not mutual, but, yeah, they do have a little bit of a history.
Hmm. This one's from Matthew RYF. How will you work the Magna Gates from the new PMD game into the story? My guess is not at all.
Yeah, I heard the new one doesn't have a very good story, yet. From everyone who's played it, I've not heard good things about the story itself, and I don't feel like they do interesting things with the Pokemon at all. And that's really boring and a shame. So I'm just going to keep continuing on my own path.
I apologize in advance for reading this question from HibiWiki. Will these so-called colds involve Cryogonal?
Next question.
Valish, will Soul B come back?
Yes.
Okay, this one has to be a joke, because Koskin asks, what does PK stand for?
Payapa Kiwi.
Trusty, what are your thoughts on the new Mystery Dungeon game? Did it give you any ideas?
I really haven't had any ideas from it. I've been kind of bored by it. Hold on, I have to say hi to Rico Live real quick.
Alright.
Hi. There, I'm done.
Oh my god. This one's from Kaz Luna. Odd question, even though in the Pokedex it says a Cubone cries for its dead mother, will we discover what happened to Jax's parents?
It depends heavily on what we do with Jax's, he's got an important thing going on, but it depends on how we display that, I guess, and how it shows up in the story.
Alright. Here's one from... No, wait. Strasser, Blood. Ask her if she's always drawn with lines. I got told it was so strange when I was little, but I can't draw any other way. What?
Lines?
Ask her if she's always drawn with lines.
Everyone draws with lines.
Yeah, this is... I have...
That's what my drawing is.
What do you think of the new Mewtwo lookalike? This one's again from Guinea Pig Dan.
I thought it looked really stupid when I could only see the poster, which was partially covered and stuff. Just looked like there was just a head handle and that was Mewtwo and they moved the tail, but it looks a lot better now that I can actually see the rest of it and I can see what the limbs look like.
I'm actually really fond of the gameplay stuff they showed. And apparently there has been another accidental reveal where they showed what seems to be a Voltorb in the shape of a cube.
Shut up!
I really hope that one is fake because I don't
no,
want-
No, it's just a fake, funny, stupid thing. I love it though, it's really funny.
Vault cube. That would have been- Oh my god. Trosdy, how long will- God damn it, stop moving questions. How long will PMDE last? Approximately, of course.
It should last, it would last until we close it. But, it depends. Like, Arc 2 should be wrapping up next year, like around January or February or something. After that, it depends on how long we suspect Arc 3 will go on for. And I don't want to close it anytime soon. And if we have more good ideas, we'll make it keep going. It'll just depend on what I'm doing in my life at the time, too. So.
Alright, guys. We're going to have to wrap this up soon. So I'm going to ask 3 more questions. You better make your questions good or else they won't get picked. 3 more questions and then we'll stop. So, actually this one's a pretty good one. Again from Tehunga. Those names. What do you wish to see in Gen 6? Oh, God, no, why did that move so fast?
I don't know. I just want to see more thoughtful designs. If there's, I don't know. If I get more thoughtful designs from the Pokemon team that I can use to make really cool story things happen, that's what'll make me happy. That's all.
That's all. All right. Oh, apparently Fluffy is telling me that there are some questions on the journal announcing this, but we can't really check that one. Oh my God. I have a minor malfunction here. Oh my God, why? Oh, what happened with that big accident in Steel City and how long ago was it?
It was... It was probably over a month ago in times of, Yeah, I think it was over a month ago, maybe a couple months ago. That's about how long the accident was from Mission 8 to right now.
Oh yeah, this one is the last one, everyone, and it's from My Triforce. When will we get to find out where the heck Candy went?
Oh, you'll get to find that out, Mission 9.
And that's it! I thank you all for joining us for the first ever PMD Lifecast, as I like to call it. I really enjoyed you guys and your questions. We hope to do this again sometime soon.
Yeah, this would be fun to do again. As long as people send in questions, we can do another live thing, maybe every other weekend or something.
Yeah, so, as soon as we stop this, I'm going to bed, then I'll have to do some stuff tomorrow, and then I'll get to editing, and you guys can enjoy the sound, at least the sound file of a podcast, and we'll post the doodles on the Tumblr.
Yeah, I'll post some, I have to run to the paint store actually to pick up some watercolors, but I'll post the doodles and stuff when I get back.
Alright, so, thank you once more for joining me in the podcast.
Yep, thanks everyone. See you next time we do this.
Bye, PK.
See ya.